All right, good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined with our partners from Iowa Total Care. They're graciously agreed to join us for these calls monthly, and so we appreciate their participation in this. These calls are also sponsored by Guardian Pharmacy, or Right Dose, a Guardian Pharmacy, and so we appreciate their partnership with the association as well. So just to kind of jump right in, you know, we didn't have a call last month because we thought that it would be beneficial for providers to join the Iowa Medicaid annual provider training, which discusses a lot of the different topics surrounding Medicaid. And while we tend to get some questions on EBV or LUPA rates or nursing facilities or cost reports, they ended up touching on a lot of those topics throughout the annual provider training. And so hopefully some of you were able to join that. And listen in and get some information that you maybe wouldn't have gotten on this call necessarily. So hopefully you're able to do that. So it's been since August. And so usually when we like to start these calls, we go through some informational letters that have been released since that call. And I'm not going to go through every single one because there's been a lot of activity, especially in areas that would pertain to most of the members on this call. We do publish, as those letters are released, we publish those in our bulletin. If you follow Iowa Total Care's newsletter, I know that they publish information out through their provider alerts as well. And so you could get signed up for that as well to receive information regarding your provider type. One piece of information that has not been discussed on these calls is the selection of the new MCO. And so while I know that this is a call dedicated to questions with Iowa Total Care, we would still want to mention that obviously Molina Healthcare has been selected as the third managed care partner in the Iowa HealthLink program with an effective date of 7/1/23. And they will begin and have started, I think, to some degree, some of the contracting process with providers. If you are looking to contract with them, I do have some contacts there. If you'd like to reach out to me, we can help you begin that process. So congratulations to Molina for getting that bid and joining Iowa Total Care and Amerigroup in that. And so Iowa Total Care didn't need to resubmit their bid this time because they started in 2019. And so they still have, I think, a couple years due to a renewal before they'll need to resubmit that as well. So congrats to Molina. Like I mentioned, there have been several informational letters that have been released over the past 8 weeks. They are in our bulletin. Most recently, there were three letters that I just want to mention that are grant funding. And so I think most of these, they're through the ARPA, American Rescue Plan Act funds that have been received by the department. And most of them, those funds need to be dedicated towards home and community-based services. And so if you are a provider of those types of services, usually our assisted living and home health agency providers, those are some grant funds that you may be eligible for. And so those are info letter 2382, 2383, and 2384. And those really relate to, health IT, remote monitoring, and some employee training and scholarship funding. And so would encourage you to look at those. As you know, when you're opening up an informational letter at the top, it lists the two, like what providers this letter pertains to. And so I know in a couple of those, home health agencies are providers that are listed out. And then you'll just want to look and see if it says like HCBS waiver providers that could be applicable to you if you provide waiver services. So again, 2382, 2383, and 2384 are some grants from ARPA money that the department has recently released that we would encourage you to look at as an opportunity to receive some additional funds to help you in any of those areas of health IT, remote monitoring, and then some employee training and scholarship funding. So I will pause there and see. Jeannie, do you or anyone from your team have any opening comments you'd like to make? I do see, but I guess before I do that, I did not have questions submitted ahead of time for Iowa Total Care. I do see a couple in the chat, so I appreciate those being submitted here now. And if anyone else has any comments or questions that they'd like to put in the chat, following comments from Jeannie and her team at Iowa Total Care, we'll definitely go into the chat to address those. So, Jeannie, I'll turn it to you to see if you have any comments that you'd like to make.
Yes, of course. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. And great updates. I always appreciate your updates ahead of the ones that I do. So sometimes you take off the ones that I don't need to do. So thank you so much. I wanted to share with you that the provider manual has been updated and is on our website at itc.com under our provider tab. And I'm very, very happy to report that we are fully staffed. Our territory map also has been updated, which I just put that into the chat right now. That is very great news for us. We're very happy to be fully staffed and ready to assist where possible. And which leads me into the next one. You had mentioned the state training from last month that we didn't meet, and we had a successful opportunity to speak, so air quote, speak to all the folks within the great state of Iowa and give them the information on our training document. Our training document can be found here. I don't know if IME, Iowa Medicaid, excuse me, they took off Enterprise off, so I have to get used to saying Iowa Medicaid, has, I don't know if they have actually posted their questions and the slide decks. However, you can get to our slide deck from the link that I just put in there. So I know that Michelle, I'm going to step in, and I believe that one of the updates that Michelle made last week to another association group was home health hospice rates. If anyone wasn't able to attend last week, the other association meeting that we work with, Erin and her group, Iowa Hospice and Palliative Care, they are going up October 15th. So the home health hospice rates. So, and Michelle can speak more to that if there's more questions. There is one question that I would like to pose to everyone, and that is, from our meetings that we meet with IHCA, what would you like to see going forward for 2023 as we begin to look towards the new year, and what can we bring to this group? So I put that out there to folks as well, in addition to additional questions you may have. So Brennan, that's all I have.
Thanks, Jeannie. And glad to hear that you got your provider relations territory map filled. If you got any extra employees over there at Iowa Total Care, I'm sure our members would love to have them.
All right. Well, move them our way. We'd be happy to take them.
So to go into some questions, Terry posted a couple of questions in here on rates. And so the question of when will the Iowa Nursing Facility rates effective 10/1/22 be available on the DHS website? That's a great question. I have not received feedback as to when those will be posted, although I'm pretty sure that they have been sent out to providers. Jeannie, do you know if, I'm pretty sure that the MCOs have received those rate notices. I just think that there's been a delay in getting them on the website. Can you confirm that? Or Hillary, I guess, if she's on.
Yes, I am on. Sorry, Michelle. We did get those rates. We just got them updated in our system last week, so we'll be going, I don't think we have any claims for that. For the normal home health claims, I think it was 7/1 effective date. We do have some reprocessing to do for that we're expecting to begin paying out by the end of the month.
Okay. So nursing homes have been put in. There haven't been claims submitted likely for those services, so we're good there. Next question is on LUPA rates. When will the rate sheet be updated? The answer to that, though, is that rate sheet has been updated. It does say on the link 7/1/21, but if you actually click on it, I think it is the 7/1/22 rate schedule. I think they just have the title listed wrong. And so you should be able to see those looper rates on DHS's website. And then, like Hillary said, they've put those in and know that they have some claims to reprocess there as well. Okay, so this next question I see, found out that Iowa Total Care will approve 4 visits prior to getting the 485 for start of services. It's always been that we submit a prior auth for 10 days to cover what we would need prior to getting the 485. This could cost us a ton of money. Any comments, Jeannie, or if there's anyone from the UM team on, I guess, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, does having the 4 visits have been there as a an option for providers prior to getting the 485 signed? Okay. Does that mean, I guess, can you maybe add some clarity around, you know, what each of those processes mean?
I will do my best, and I will lean on my staff to help me if I leave anything out, because they're awesome. The first 4 visits, it's kind of gratis. We go ahead, and because we know when things get started, things are kind of hectic. So the first 4 visits do go towards the authorization, but you will not be denied services for those first 4 visits. No. So if there's something behind, you know, I'm just questioning, Brandon, if there's something behind this question, that I would ask you to reach out to your provider relations specialist to give the details, because obviously we can't talk specific details here. So if we have an opportunity to speak with you, please use the link that I provided to you if you do not know who your provider relations specialist is, and just get some more details.
Perfect. Yeah. Hey. I see, I think Amanda had sent this to me via email as well. And so, this was the first that I'd seen this question brought up. It does seem like it is cyclical, where we end up sometimes talking about prior auth again, and the visits at the beginning of a start of care for home health. But that had not come up for a while. And so, I didn't know if something had changed, or, and it could be a situation with that agency as well. So yeah, I think your advice there is probably the way to go, if it is, unless I start to hear more feedback from providers that there's a challenge there.
Of course.
The question of how long should we expect a reconsideration to take to be processed when submitted on the website?
This is Hillary again. So those should take, they should be processing within 30 days. But depending on the type of reconsideration, if it was just a rate issue, then that's faster than if they have to review some kind of records. So depending on what type of reconsideration it is, it could take a little longer, but it should be within that 30-day window.
Thank you, Hillary.
You're welcome.
Next question, and it's in regards to the rates comment. Obviously, those rates, when they're published, are then available for hospice agencies to be able to review. This is why it's important to get those on the website as quick as possible. Yeah, there was a pretty long delay in getting July's on too, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'll reach out to the department, because that's their issue to resolve, I suppose. So I'll make that outreach to them to make sure that those get updated as soon as possible. And I guess I'm not sure on the timeliness in which hospice agencies are billing, if they bill on a monthly basis. And so we may have a little bit of time to get those on the website prior to the billing cycle. But I'm sure that, you know, obviously hospice means that it's likely shorter lengths of stay. And so there could be some billing mid-month too. So yeah, hear the issue, and I'll reach out and see when they're going to have those posted. And then the question of where on the website is the quarterly rates for a provider listed? Honestly, the fastest way, and that was sent to me specifically, the fastest way to see those, for whatever reason, I'm a search engine guy, And so I literally just go to a search engine and type in Iowa Medicaid nursing facility rates. And it is the first thing that pops up every time on DHS's website. And so you'll want to pick the fiscal year that we're in, which we're in fiscal year 2023. And then it breaks them all down. It gives you nursing facility rates by provider, case mix, figures by provider, total case mix numbers, you know, several different pieces of information by quarter. And so that's where I, how I would get to that. I could maybe also send the link. I'm working on one screen here, so it's hard for me to pull up links and insert them in the chat to get those onto there. Will the DHS website be updated to reflect that the LUPA rates are effective 7/1/22 instead of incorrectly showing 7/1/21 as it's receiving to providers? I think that once you click on the link, I think that the sheet reads 7/1/22. I think it's just the link title, if I'm not mistaken, that says 7/1/21. So once you actually, if you were to print that sheet off or whatever, I think that it reads 7/1/22, but I will have to go verify that. Oh, thanks, Laura, for putting those rates in there. And Terry. Cool. Does anyone else have questions that they'd like to unmute and ask? That's obviously an option here as well, if you have any. I can pause here and see if there's any questions that want to come in that route. I will also, you know, if you have any that come in through the chat here in this next few moments, we can definitely take those too. And, you know, while we're waiting to see if anything comes in through the chat, obviously with the addition of an MCO, we currently have two calls with each of our MCO partners. You know, as we've continued to have these calls monthly, I don't know that we're going to be reviewing the time, I suppose, in which we or how long we end up having these, the calls, like the length of the call, not how long we're going to continue to do them, because we still perceive some value for you all in having them, but we'll be reviewing the length of the calls. And obviously with the addition of Melina having a call dedicated to them as well. So that way we can make sure that we have some time for you to ask questions of each of our MCO partners. The rate sheet does read 7/22, but the link does not. Therefore, as our agency did, we did not click on the 21 link. Website link needs to be updated to reflect. Yep. I agree, Terry. I'll let them know. Obviously, I think the most important part is that we do have that rate sheet now. And so we can use those because that's what it does say within the document. I will reach out to the department for the technical change to the title of the 7/1/22 rate sheet on their website.
So, Brandon, this is Jeannie. I have a question for you. When you're talking about the MCOs and such like that, are you talking about combining them or just reducing the time frame in between perhaps maybe the different MCOs independently based on need?
I will not combine them. I think that there's value in having each MCO separately. Also, I don't know that either of the other MCOs need to know any questions about what we're asking Iowa Total Care or Amerigroup. I know we did that in the past, you know, received some feedback that it might be helpful to have them separately. So,
Yeah. I think okay, good. I just want to make sure I didn't misunderstand. I'm thinking, I don't think that's a good idea.
No. We're going to keep them separate.
Okay. But we may
reduce the amount of time, because I think we've been staying less than 30 minutes. And my initial thought is to put them at 30 minutes, at least for you guys and possibly Amerigroup as well. And so we may do some kind of cadence like that in the future.
Okay.
And then, I think, it's kind of thinking along the same lines, as we've had reduced questions, at least submitted ahead of time to us for inclusion on the calls, what other information can be shared by our partners at Iowa Total Care or either of the other MCOs if questions aren't presented, that can be helpful to you. And I think that's kind of where Jeannie was going as well with some of her question about topics. I see one suggestion here about EVV. I think that, as we're transitioning to EVV, one point that I would like to mention, which thanks for bringing this up, is we do expect there to be a good faith exemption submitted by the state for EVV. We expect there to be more information to come out about that, but we do think that they're trying to extend that timeline from 1/1/23 back. And so we may have a little bit longer runway. I think that's been submitted. I think they're waiting for a response. And then obviously once they receive the response, they will then communicate that out to providers. But why the communication hasn't happened in the gap here is because it's unclear of whether or not it's been approved yet. And so that is what we're waiting on now from CMS, is whether or not they're going to approve that. And so EVV will still happen. It's the question of whether it's effective 1/1/23 and what services, because I know that they've submitted that info letter about S&T codes. And then the question remains of when they will be working towards G codes. And G codes were not listed in phase one. I see Jen mentions that that's not part of phase one. So I would agree that those will not be in that initial phase. So there's a lot of question marks in the air still at this point. But we do know that they're trying to extend that process out past 1/1/23. So I hate to say more to come, but we do know, I think it's helpful to know that they're working on extending that out further.
And this is Hillary again. I can just say that I am part of a lot of those meetings for the implementation of the EVV for home health, and we have not heard anything either. I mean, they're still planning a phased approach from everything we've discussed, but I don't know that the state has heard back yet at all.
Right. So. Yeah, and I think, I think with the phased approach, that's a unique characteristic to Iowa's implementation plan. And so, with the Federal Cures Act regulation, it says, basically it says you need to start everything 1/1/23. And so the fact that we want to do phases means that we would not be implementing everything 1/1/23. And so we almost have to have that kind of an exemption or exception. I can't remember if it's exemption or exception in place, so that way we can make sure that we are still in compliance by using our phases. And so S&T codes being phase one from what that IL states, and then possibly your G codes, further down the road, since that's obviously the most important to our members, our home health members, because those are the codes that they're billing these looper rates through. So.
Right. Yeah. I think there was some additional things that we had to work out with the G codes in particular, like for homebound residents, which I think is why they were in a later phase. But I agree with you. I think because of the act, we need something. It's just
right.
Making sure we're in compliance.
Right. So, like I said, I hate to say more to come, but we are expecting, there will have to be a response by CMS on that good faith exception here shortly, I would assume. So, okay. Well, seeing no further questions in the chat, we will wrap this call up. Thanks again to our partners at Iowa Total Care for continuing to join us on these calls. We appreciate your time and ability to answer these questions and provide some follow-up information for providers. Also, thanks to Rytos, Guardian Pharmacy, for sponsoring these calls. Our next call will be with the Merit Group at 11:30, and you'll have Julie online to run that call. So hope everyone has a good rest of the week, and we will chat again here in November. But obviously, feel free to reach out at any time in the interim, and we'll be happy to help you. So everyone have a good rest of the week. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.